You're tuned in to Rosie on the House. Well, we're going to take the next half hour and be talking about exactly that, every breath you take, and what is it going to be like through this, what I believe and predict and project to be an incredible allergy season. As a seasoned veteran of allergies my entire life, I know when and what to expect. And given the temperate winter we had, the wet winter we had, this is going to be a killer. So we brought in two experts to talk for the next half hour about what we could do in conversation to help all of you hopefully get through what's going to be a horrible allergy season. We've got Dr. Mike Manning, Arizona native, and for the last 22 years been my allergist over at Allergy and Immunology Associates. Dr. Mike, thanks for coming in and joining us this morning.
Welcome, Rosie. Thank you.
And we've got Sharon Altanoff from Air Quality Specialist, our Rosie Certified Indoor Air Quality Specialist. We're going to be talking a little bit later to Sharon about what can we do in, out, and about and around the house to breathe a little bit cleaner. Sharon, thanks for coming in.
Good morning.
Dr. Mike, going to be a horrible season, huh?
Going to be. It already is.
Is it really? Are the lines swarming outside your office already?
You know, if you think about in Arizona, and you talked about the temperate weather, you know, our spring season starts mid-February.
Okay.
So from mid-February on until it gets triple digits, consistently triple digits, it's our bad spring. So we're in the thick of it. It's going to get worse here for the next little bit before it gets better.
It's going to be bad, I imagine. Now, let's talk plants in a minute, but all of us have, many of us build in our own complications by having pets, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah. So we talk about what are some of the steps we can take about owning pets in and around the house.
Well, the one thing you think about is, you know, we don't want to live in a vacuum. I mean, you're out and about hiking. So if you can make an area of the home or your whole home at least as allergy-free as possible, it's something you want to strive for. So that includes closing windows, running the air conditioner. You don't have to cool it all the time, but you want to filter the air. So air filtration's important. Good air filtration's important. Not sleeping with the windows open. Not driving your car with the windows down. The top down like this morning would have been great.
Oh, man.
If you do have pets, you want to try to brush them at the door. You may not actually be allergic to the pet itself. You can be allergic to what's on the pet because there are little pollen traps when they're running around outside. If you have a doggy door, man, there's not much you can do. You're kind of toast with that. So,
yeah.
You know, if you can brush the pet, wipe it at the door before it comes in, you will help minimize, I'm not going to say eliminate, minimize the amount of pollen and dust that they bring into the house, which will be helpful.
And Jennifer, I have horses. I mean, we're out, you know, we'll go out and ride every Monday. We'll trailer them out and go ride. We're going to go ride up in Sedona Monday morning. And we get home. And especially as hot, the hotter it gets and the hotter it gets, the ranker those clothes are after about a 6 or 8 hour ride. We just walk in the garage and we just shed everything right there.
Absolutely. So for the horse owners, if you got horses on your property and you're out, you know, tending to them and feeding them, you know, the clothing will get covered with pollen. And horse dander, you can be allergic to horse itself. You know, if you can drop those clothes in the garage or someplace outside, go in, take a quick shower after you've been outside. If you've been, you know, doing yard work, if you've been riding, if you've just been out lounging about, if you can hose off, get the pollen out of your hair. And one thing that's really important for patients to think about is they should take that shower at night. And what's most important, and it's harder for the women than the guys, is to rinse the hair out. You don't have to wash the hair, but at least rinse it. France did a study, and they used women's hair as almost a pollen counter. They would rinse it out at night and collect the water and analyze it, and it was as accurate as a pollen counter. So our hair is a big pollen reservoir. If you don't rinse it out, what are you doing? You're sleeping on your pillow with that stuff right next to your eyes and nose.
The receptor areas that are most sensitive to exactly what you're sleeping in the middle of.
Correct.
Well, that was a tactic you shared with me a while back ago. And I'll tell you, since I've reverted to that and showering at night prior to going to bed, it has helped. It's helped quite a bit. So,
well, absolutely. And, you know, closing the windows, it's beautiful. And the hardest thing is when our weather is the best, our highest pollen counts.
Yeah.
So that's hard to close up the windows and stuff when that's why we're living out here. But it's for the allergy sufferer, it's something that, that they can do. They don't have to, but they sure would benefit if they do.
Yeah, I haven't broken down to sleep in a closed room yet. We had the windows open last night, but Benadryl at night, Allivert in the morning, shots once a week. It's all manageable, right?
Absolutely.
Let's talk about problematic plants. Growing up here in the valley, I always heard about citrus and oleanders, and you'd see them blooming, and people would almost start crying as they described it. Their eyes would start watering.
Well, not all blooming plants are allergenic plants. I mean, you have to differentiate plants that just kind of hang their pollen out there for the wind to blow it around, and those are the plants that bother us. Because the pollen's in the air, it gets into our eyes, gets into our nose, into our lungs if you have asthma. Plants that are bee pollinated are really not the most allergenic plants out there because the pollen's heavy, it sticks in the flower. The bees have to carry it, you know, from plant to plant. Now, if the bee's flying in your nose, I guess you could get allergic that way.
Yeah, you could get a lot that way.
If you lived in an orchard, an orange grove orchard, or, you know, that's what your business was, let's say, you could probably become allergic to orange pollen then. But it's really the citrus is not one of our problematic plants. Now, when you smell it, when you can smell those blossoms, palaverdes, mesquites, mulberries, olives, ash trees, Bermuda grass, all the things that you can't sense are pollinating. And those are really the plants that are driving your symptoms.
Okay. Now, how about nose rinses, like the neti pots and the sinew rinse and all of that?
Those are helpful. I mean, you can overdo that. I mean,
they're gross.
It is. I can't do it because I feel like I'm drowning. I recommend it a lot. But it's washing out the nose. If you can, you know, the nose is a filter. It's supposed to humidify the air, warm the air, and filter the dirt and stuff out of it. So that's what all the pollen is collecting, you know, inside the nose. So if you can rinse it out, it's like taking a shower at night. It's a shower for your nose once a day. Those can be very beneficial. I mean, if you have problems, you know, talk with your physician and say, hey, here's what's going on. But that can be a very beneficial, non-medicated, simple thing that anybody can do.
Well, I especially liked your advice years ago about allergic people should not do housework or yard work.
That was
some great lifestyle coaching. I appreciated it.
Did you follow it?
Well, I'm trying, but when Jennifer doesn't buy it.
You know, if people that are allergic, I mean, if they're allergic to stuff that's going to be in the house, either the animal danders, we're not a big dust mite capital here in Phoenix, in Arizona, because they don't like our weather. It's not humid enough. It's not cool enough. But if you live someplace where dust mites are keen, yeah, the allergic patient should not be doing the housework. That's when they really get symptomatic. So, you know, a vacuum with a good filter you want. You know, take medicines before you do your yard work. I mean, not everybody can avoid it. I couldn't when I was growing up mowing the grass. Though we did put in a non-allergenic grass at the request of your father and his partner.
Yeah.
But those are things you can do. So have the other people do it if you can.
All right. And I think if people realize how dirty carpet is, they would rip it out of their house. Carpet is a pollen dust magnet.
It's a reservoir. I mean, it's hard to truly clean it.
Yeah.
You know, it's really bad for dust mites. Dust mites, and if people are living in areas where or they have a second home someplace in California, they live on our skin that falls off. So they're in your pillows, mattresses, bedroom carpets. When I was in California, you really wanted to get the carpet out of the house. You want a washable, wipeable surface. Okay. And I think that goes for here, too, because our homes are not dust-free. I mean, they're not airtight. I mean, the outdoor environment gets in. If you don't have a reservoir to just hold that stuff in and around, it's much better.
Ooh, Sharon. Indoor air quality. Y'all do a lot of indoor air testing for folks that are having hard times.
We have been slammed this year with people asking, what is making me so sick?
So what do you look for? When they call air quality specialists and ask for an indoor air quality check, what's step one, two, three? What are you looking for?
We start with, do you have any allergies? That's first and foremost.
Okay.
And second thing is, do you have any water damage? That's second. Third would be, what's your lifestyle? Do you have pets? Do you spend a lot of time outside? You know, what's going on? And we try to get a good history, and then we go out and do a consultation in the house where we do a quick rundown on a visual inspection, looking for signs of things that might be carpet on the floors, vacuums that are 150 years old and have no filtration.
Yes, yes.
Things of that nature.
Yeah, my grandmother always dusted after she vacuumed.
Always. That's what I was taught too, because the vacuum throws everything in the air, and then you have to dust again if you don't.
Now, you're one of our specialists for duct cleaning, and I tell people all the time, don't pay for duct cleaning unless it's done right. You want to take just 30 seconds and talk about what is proper duct cleaning?
Sure. We're members of NACA, the National Air Duct Cleaners Association, and they've developed a standard that specifies that you must clean the entire system. You know, just cleaning the registers, just cleaning the runs, just cleaning the filter, that's not effective because it's all connected. You have to clean the entire system, including the unit itself. So we have specialized tools that go through, clean the whole system, and at the same time, all of what we're exhausting is being or stirring up is being collected by a HEPA vac. It's we close up your system so it's not the dirt and dust isn't being moved into the house, and we're getting it up and out of there for you.
I tell people duct work properly cleaned. You know, a lot of these companies that do it through the coupon offers and the direct mail offers will state a price of $150, $175, $179. And they'll come and do what they call duct cleaning. And then before they leave, they'll make an appointment to come back in 6 months. Mm-hmm. And it becomes an annuity for them. Your house becomes their annuity. Duct work properly cleaned should cost you about $400 to $600 per air conditioning unit. Okay. And how often should that be done if you take care of your filter?
If you take care of your filter and you take care of your home, 3 to 5 years usually before you even need a recheck, and then it may not need it then.
It may not even need it then if you're good with your filters. And what do you? Let's talk filters real quick. We're running tight on time, but what kind of filters would you like to see people using in their central air conditioning system?
At least a MERV 8 if possible, wherever possible. And it has a tendency to fill up quickly, so keep an eye on it so you're not stressing your unit.
Yeah, it can be such a good filter. It chokes your unit.
Right, so you want to keep an eye on that. We also sell electrostatics. It'll take up to 93%.
When we get back, I want to talk a little bit more about those freestanding in-room units.
Okay.
Right here with Sharon Altanoff of Air Quality Specialists and Dr. Mike Manning, allergist with Allergy and Immunology Associates, talking about clear breathing for all of you, the Arizona Rosie on the House listeners. We'll be right back.